Hello.
Hello. I'm Kendra.
And I'm August.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
This week, we're taking a little break from To Paradise just as we finish book two, and we're bringing you our favorite TV adaptations. So we're going to be sharing the handful of honorable mentions and then our top five, as well as some series or books that we need to read or watch.
Yes, this is a sort of a follow-up to our episode about like movie adaptations that seem to be very well received. And also, who doesn't love movies and TV? Especially like readers, you love stories. So we thought we'd expand that and talk about some of our favorite shows.
Yeah. And as somebody who is fully just constantly watching television all the time, that was a very redundant sentence, but I'm watching TV all the time. And a lot of times it's based on books that I love or books that I want to read. So I feel like this was just kind of a natural next step from that film episode.
Definitely. But before we get into anything else, do you want to tell me what you're reading?
Sure. I'm listening to an audiobook for When the Emperor Was Divine. One of my students is reading this for his English and history class, and it's a pretty short book, so I thought that I would listen along with him. How about you?
I am listening to Open Water by Caleb Azuma Nelson, and it's beautiful so far. Oh my God. I would highly, highly recommend. I'm only about like 30% in, but I if it stays as it is right now, it's going to be 5 stars for sure.
Ooh, very nice. Also, I'm just going to give a quick update. I know last week I brought up that I was reading Dear Centurion. I'm now almost done with it. I'm like 80%+ through. I'm going to save my thoughts for it, but I know Kendra's going to be happy.
Okay. I was just gonna be like, what do you think? But I will wait until you finish it. I will be patient.
The Toni Morrison letter. That's my favorite so far. I mean, because Tony, we love Tony, but like, yeah, I'll save my thoughts. Yeah.
Oh God, it's so good. I'm so glad you're enjoying it. Okay. I could gush about them forever.
Seriously, as they deserve. I mean, they are quite literally a god. So
yeah. Genuinely.
Yes. Okay. So should we jump on into our honorable mentions?
Yes, let's do it. So, I have two honorable mentions. And August, do you want to share how many you have?
6. I love television. I watch a lot of TV. So.
And that's totally fine.
Not sorry.
Yeah, totally fine. So like last night when August and I were texting about making our list, I was like, fuck, I only have like 2 or 3 to talk about. And I ended up finding more because I was just being dumb. It was the funniest experience. She sent me a screenshot of her list and it was this like robust, healthy, carefully curated list. And I was just like, of course, it's perfect.
You can't give me a TV or movie related assignment and not expect me to just be the happiest person on earth. Like a combination of all the loves of books, movies, TV. This has just been a great recording process for these two episodes for me.
I'm glad. I'm super glad. Do you want to start by listing maybe 2 of your honorable mentions?
Sure. So these are in no particular order. So just like I included in the film episode before we knew that we were going to do a television episode, there is the wonderful BBC adaptation of Elizabeth Gaskell's novel North and South. This came out in 2004 and it's just great. It's a really true adaptation of the novel. I love that novel. I also just love a Victorian social realist novel. So maybe that's just me. And definitely want to pick up more like BBC adaptations like this and watch them soon. Probably the Middlemarch one. Who knows? Let me know if the Middlemarch one is good. And then another honorable mention I have, I'm only going to really include the first season in this. And that's American Gods, which was a Showtime show. It started in 2017, went till 2021. And the book is by Neil Gaiman. American Gods is a fantastic book. Kendra and I both absolutely love it. The first season of this show is spectacular. The show creator, Brian Fuller, I trust him, and everyone just continues to screw him over. I feel like if he had his way, the show would still be great, but alas, I do not think that it is, and I have not finished season 2 or even started season 3, and I have no interest because Gillian Anderson is not in it anymore, so what's the fucking point? And those are my first 2 honorable mentions.
Great choices that I haven't seen, but we'll want to watch very soon.
I can genuinely say that I think you would love north and south. So
I think I would too. That's on my, like, I actually think I have it in my audiobook library, but I've been saving it because I'm like, I think I need to read a physical copy. But we'll see.
I would lend you mine, but it's filled with so many annotations and sticky notes. So maybe not.
Thank you though. So my first honorable mention is the Little House on the Prairie series. I would watch this all the fucking time, every night before school. I also loved the book in elementary school. I only read Little House on the Prairie. I know there's a million in the series, but I only read that one and loved it, but apparently not enough to keep reading the series. But this series is based on the book that's by Laura Ingalls Wilder, and it has the same name. And it's really just about like that period in the family's life where she writes about her whole entire life, almost from like, not from infancy, obviously, but like reflecting back on her early childhood, all the way into when she's married. And the show does kind of go into that. Looking back, it's a little weird because she's like 14 being pursued by a 20-year-old. And I know that was how it was done in the time, but still gross regardless.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
It was good when I was a kid. I think as an adult, I'd be like, this is dumb. I remember there was one episode when travelers came to town, and they didn't call them travelers, of course. They used this, you know, the slur that we don't use. And it was really weird because there was like this kid who's being held captive by them and putting on a show as like the Beast. That one stood out to me as really fucking weird. And that was right around the time when I stopped watching it.
Okay. So probably has not aged well, I'm assuming.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, just from that use of a slur, yikes, but a childhood show nonetheless.
Yeah, it's from the 80s. I mean,
yeah. It's like when you go back and watch like the original series of Scooby-Doo and you're like, ooh.
But still, those were the best episodes.
I know. The Globetrotters? Well, that's that's an original, but come on.
Anyway,
I love Scooby.
Good point.
Okay, so my next two honorable mentions, I'll just quickly get into. The first is Mindhunter. I loved this show so much more than I liked John Douglas's book. This is a show that ran from 2017 to 2019, and hopefully we're getting another season. David Fincher, why do you hate us? Just please, come on. We need the BTK. And this is a story of John Douglas's experience working for the FBI. And a lot of people credit him as being like the founder of like behavioral science and like investigating and interviewing serial killers. I really love this show, mainly for the guy who plays Ed Kemper. Fucking knocks it out of the park. So good. Love that. But if you want like a serial killer investigative show from the 70s like era, it's a great show. I mean, David Fincher typically does a pretty good job. And then my next honorable mention is another Netflix series, and that's Queen's Gambit, which came out in 2020. It's a single season, and it's based off of the book by Walter Tevis. This was also one where I really liked the show more than the book. I know we've talked about this before on the podcast because we both read the book. I think the book is very openly racist, and there's like a lot of problematic elements to it. I feel like the show definitely made changes that made it more digestible and likable to a modern audience. And I really love Anya Taylor-Joy. Her portrayal of Ruth in that is just, is it Ruth? Is her name Ruth?
I honestly don't remember.
I think I might just be thinking of Ozark, but her portrayal of the main character is just spectacular. I think visually it's stunning. There's like a lot of really cool editing sequences in it as well. And this just follows the life of a young chess prodigy from her early childhood into her adult life, and just chronicling her experiences with mental illness, the pressures of the chess game, and just other things going on. It's really, really good. Loved it so much.
I've actually seen both of those. I haven't read any of the books, but I DNF'd Queen's Gambit. Never mind. I just didn't like it, but loved the show. Oh my gosh, so great. And Mindhunter was perfect. Also hoping for a third season. I feel like it's not going to happen, but I can hope.
Let me dream, please.
I know. I totally agree. Okay. My second and last honorable mention is Shadow and Bone, which is a Netflix series that was just recently adapted like mid last year, or I guess a year ago now. And I loved the book series. I know a lot of people don't. It is weird. There are parts of it that aren't great. I think it just, when I first read it, I loved it. I was obsessed with it. upon rereading it, obviously it doesn't hold up in the same way, but you know, I love a dark villain who is a somewhat of a romantic interest. So that's my own toxicity. I know August is just shaking her head. And honestly, the show was not that good. But I was just so excited to see it adapted that I'm going to watch every season that comes out. And hopefully it will get better as the seasons go on.
Yeah, I remember you and our friend Emily freaking out over that when it was released, because you guys love the series so much. I just know that Ben Barnes is in it, and I love him in Westworld. And yeah, that's all that I need to know. I have not seen it, but love Ben Barnes as of this moment of this recording.
He's, I know, we're like, I don't know if it's going to come out in the future. He's just like so attractive, but especially in that role.
I always just think of him in Westworld, where he is not attractive to me at all.
Oh,
he's such a douchebag. But did you know Westworld is based off of a book?
I know. I was going to mention that too, where I was like, well, I'm never going to read that. I don't care. Yeah. But wow.
I mean, love the show. No interest in reading the book. Okay, so I'm going to get into my last two honorable mentions. And the first is Haunting of Hill House, which is also a Netflix series where it's just a single season. And this came out in 2018. I also really liked Haunting of Bly Manor, but I have not read the book that that is based off of, which is Turn of the Shrew, right? Another Shirley Jackson title. So Haunting of Hill House is...
Sorry, it's not Shirley Jackson.
Oh, it's Henry James.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Haunting of Hill House is based off of the Shirley Jackson novel of the same name. It's a very loose adaptation, gets into the haunting of a particular family, getting into past traumas and things like that. I just think this show was absolutely perfect. It's very scary. I struggle watching scary things that have jump scares personally. And this was a lot for me, probably why I liked Bly Manor more, because I think Bly Manor is a better show overall, but I've not read any Henry James, so not on this list. But yeah, both Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor, I'd recommend if you want something spooky, but just like beautifully done and beautifully written. And then my last honorable mention is another show that was adapted by the great Brian Fuller, and that is Hannibal, which ran from 2013 to 2015 on cable, which is so shocking every single time I think of it, because this show, especially the first season, beautiful. One of the most beautiful shows I've ever seen. Hannibal follows, it's the prequel to Silence of the Lambs, which is by Thomas Harris. He also has a series of books called Hannibal as well. And it's about Hannibal Lecter's experience before being imprisoned and his experience specifically with FBI agent Will Graham. And it is so good. It is so queer. I love Mads Mikkelsen. I would die for Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal. His murder outfit is similar to Patrick Bateman's murder outfit, but possibly better. Who's to say? Me. I think Hannibal's is better. But the show is just so great. And especially if you like images of food, they had professional chefs come on, because obviously Hannibal, we all know, he's a cannibal. How can you not know with that name? And he prepares some very ornate meals for people, and they are so pretty. I am not a meat eater. Thank God. Hannibal could never feed me a person, but they were just like jaw dropping, and they would have professional chefs come on and make this food for the show, so it would just be like as stunning as possible. There's also just some really cool murder scenes, a lot of great like found bodies and things. So if you're looking for kind of more of like a detective style darker show, I would highly recommend this. A lot of people say that they don't really like the third season as much, and I credit that for Brian Fuller not being able to continue the show. It got canceled, sadly. I know Mads Mikkelsen really wants to bring it back, and I support Mads at this moment in time. I don't think he's going to do anything shitty, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But this is just one that I feel like I'm constantly recommending to people. And whenever it comes up in conversation, I just get so excited, because Hannibal and Will Graham, like, they're just two cute little babies, and I love them so much.
That was really sweet. I haven't watched the show, but I know I've heard I've heard from other people. It's super great.
Also, just like for the time that it was coming out, I feel like it was way ahead of its time. And also it was coming out on cable. So if you're watching this, like, there are some really dark moments, a lot of really dark imagery, and are like, how was this released? I think it was on like Fox or FX or something like that. So it's like, how did this get released? And also, why is there not more of it? Like, I feel like if it came out now, we'd have five seasons and it would be like a Netflix original series.
For sure. Yeah. Should we get into our main list, or is there any other honorable mentions?
I'm not thinking of any right now, but who knows, they might come to mind later. Do you want to share your number five from your top five?
Yeah. So my number five is The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. It's a Hulu show that started coming out, I think, in 2017. And the reason it's number five is because I think the first two or three seasons are absolutely fantastic. And the last couple of seasons have just been super boring. They've just dragged on for too long. I think it's the perfect example of a show that doesn't know how to end it or when to end it. And also, it's super upsetting. So trigger warning, I'm going to be talking about really, really upsetting sexual violence. I won't get into details, but as a quick overview for what it's about, is it imagines a not too distant future America through a series of traumatic political events, America is like basically dissolved, and we're somewhere in the East Coast, what I think is somewhere in Massachusetts, and it has become Gilead, which is these hyper patriarchal biblical society, just like the most extreme version of Christianity. And one of the reasons, one of the catalysts for this event, is that like fertility rates were dropping, allegedly. I like to read into it as like more people with uteruses were opting out of childbearing. And so these extremist groups, being upset, wanted to like basically reclaim the country and restructure it so that women were explicitly subordinate, and women who are able to have babies and who have committed perceived crimes become handmaidens. And this is where it gets super traumatic, where they essentially are forced to bear children, or the attempt to bear children, for wealthier families. And there's a series of other like power dynamics where there's other positions, but at the end of the day, it's women who are subjugated, and it's really scary. It's in the like the feminist dystopian genre that Margaret Atwood is very famous for popularizing. And the show, I think, is just like 100 times more traumatic than the book. Honestly, the book doesn't get into the really awful assaults, but the show does. The show makes you watch it, and there's other like torture you're forced to consider. I honestly think the most upsetting part of it is, I mean, not the most, but what was honestly most stressful for me to watch personally was the way they explained how America had fallen and how easy it sounded to me, to be honest. I remember when it first came out, and then it was like right after Trump had been elected and everyone thought that world was ending, when really, honestly, I mean, it was pretty bad, but also it just exposed things that had been bad for a while. And I remember thinking, oh my God, like this could definitely happen. I could see this happening very soon.
Yeah, I definitely had a similar experience watching the first couple seasons of that show. I had read the book after I had seen like the first two or three seasons, I want to say, and I was shocked with how different the book was. I think we should put a little note here that we also both read The Testaments, which is the sequel to Handmaid's Tale, and we fucking hated it. I think both of us were incredibly disappointed. Both of us forgot that we had read it. And it's a big book, so would not recommend The Testaments, but I loved reading The Handmaid's Tale. And I also love how the show kind of expanded that universe by showing us more, as horrific as it was. And also just the acting in it is incredible. I think of, is it Alexis Bledel, who plays one of the main characters on the show, of course. Oh my God, Peggy Olson from Mad Men. What's her name? Elizabeth Olson. Yeah. Yeah. I always want to call her Elizabeth Banks, but that's someone else. But yeah, love Elizabeth Olson, my emotional support Scientologist. Yeah, maybe not so much now, but love her as Peggy in Mad Men. Yeah, but that's not a show that I think I'm going to ever start up again or watch the new seasons of. Just no desire. So my number five pick from my top five is a show that I haven't even finished watching yet. And I had to put it here instead of an honorable mention because I know it's going to become one of my favorite TV shows of all time. It's Station Eleven. Wow. So this is a show that started coming out in 2021. It's now completely out. I think they're only doing one season for it. Again, I have not finished it, so I don't know. And it's based off of the book by by Emily St. John Mendel, which I read at the end of last year with Jesse K. Reeds on Instagram. She was so kind and created a buddy read for it in preparation for the show. And I've been taking my time watching it because it's hard at times, you know, it feels very real. The first episode, especially, I'm just like, wow, flashbacks to waiting in line at Safeway at 4 a.m. right when lockdown started. So just keep that in mind. But it's also such a beautiful show. It's about a post-world pandemic or post-pandemic world where there's a number of people who are traveling around in a theater and music company trying to, you know, bring arts to people, as well as showing what things were like as this pandemic was starting and things began to crumble. I just think that it's a beautiful show. I loved the book so much, and I'm surprised with how much I'm loving the TV show. There are slight variations so far, and I don't hold me to this. I haven't finished watching, but I might like the show more. I don't know. Maybe it's just because the main actress is also from that one fantastic episode of Black Mirror. What's it called? Unipro-Sara? Is that it?
Yes. You know what she's also in?
What?
Your favorite holiday movie, 'Tis the Season, with the worst queer relationship we've ever encountered.
Goddamn. Borderline homophobic. Ugh.
Yeah.
But also, everyone has different experiences. Case 2 should have just been with Aubrey Plaza. That's just what I'm pushing.
Right. Anyway, sorry.
It's over a year later and I'm still upset. I do not watch rom-coms or Hallmark movies typically, and that was a big disappointment. So there's that. But I really love the show so far. One of my favorite comedians just randomly popped up in one episode and I'm like, oh. But I won't say who it is because I think it should be a surprise for everybody. And that's my number 5 pick.
You know how I feel about that one. Maybe I'll just save my thoughts for later, but just totally agree. Are you ready for my number 4?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Number 4 is one that I've talked about a lot before. And again, this like ranking, you know, these numbers are a bit arbitrary, but it is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is an HBO series adapted from the just absolutely perfect true crime study, really, by Michelle McNamara, who tragically died before she could finish the book, and who also was instrumental in the catching of the Golden State Killer. Coined that name, Golden State Killer. They would do the stupid Euron's name beforehand, which was East Area Rapist, original Night Stalker. And this series is amazing. I was a little worried because the book is amazing and it's really hard to adapt something that's already perfect. However, I think they did an excellent job by treating it as a reflection and kind of like how things have changed, as well as like really centering the survivors of the attack. Like, they are such a huge part of the series. And I cried so many times because their stories are not only horrific, of course, horrific, but also moving in the way they've carried themselves beyond the single moment in their lives. They just took their power back in so many amazing ways. And I would just really recommend it. Of course, trigger warnings. It is upsetting to watch. I also think it's really important to watch. I think it's the right amount of upsetting, where you should be horrified to hear these stories. And of course, if you're not in a safe place to do so, don't do it. I want you to take care of your mental health. But I think if you are emotionally able to consume it, I think it's important to honor these stories and just really reflect on just the power of human resiliency, right? The power of these women and the men who are also victims, which I feel doesn't get talked about enough for these stories, the trauma the men went through as well. And I think part of that is because it happened in the 70s and there weren't a lot of space for men to feel vulnerable, especially about specific attacks that were seen as emasculating for them, which of course we don't agree with, but you know, different culture then, and some still deeply ingrained in this culture, which is why I think it's important to talk about it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Absolutely loved that series and adore that book. I'm mad at myself for not having thought of it for my own list as well. I just am going to rubber stamp everything you say and just add on that the opening song for each episode is Amy Mann cover of Leonard Cohen's Avalanche, which, I mean, Leonard Cohen's version is already just high art, but Amy Mann, ooh, Ooh, love it. So if you're not feeling ready to watch it, that's okay. Maybe just go check out her cover of that song, because like when we watched the first episode together, it opened with that. And I was just like, oh my God, is this Leonard Cohen's Avalanche? And then Amy Mann started singing. I was like, what? So just a moment of beauty among all that pain, and also beauty, you know, great, great series. Love Michelle, RIP. Okay. Are you ready for my next one? This is a show that was so crucial to like Tumblr era teenage me. Maybe it was the show, and that's Sherlock, the BBC adaptation of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock series. This was my introduction to Benedict Cumberbatch. Am I the biggest fan of him? No, but I love a lot of his movies. So just an intro to an amazing career, honestly, The Range. If you haven't seen The Power of the Dog, what are you doing? Go watch it for the soundtrack alone. It's so spooky. But really love that. Also an early introduction to Martin Freeman and, oh my God, how am I forgetting his name? Hot Priest. Hot Priest is in it and I'm blanking on his name and I hate myself for it because he's a short king. But I loved Sherlock. There are, I believe, 3 seasons of this show and each episode is 2 hours long. And I think there's only 3 episodes per season. So I could be wrong about that. There could be more. Starts off stellar. It is so good and it builds over time. This was created by Stephen Moffat, who's also who brought back Doctor Who with the David Tennant season. So there's Christopher Eccleston before that, but you know, David Tennant is peak. So just really love like that era of BBC for me, just because it was so crucial in like my teenage years. I also think these are just really fun and modern interpretations of the original Sherlock stories, which I had read as a kid and had seen other film adaptations of. And I just really like how it was like brought into this modern London and how we got to see, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch going around with Martin Freeman. I love their dynamic together. It's just really fun. So if you want something good, just take your mind off. You want like a good mystery that's done really well, I would check this out. I mean, I haven't seen it. I watched one episode a couple years ago, actually for one of my classes that I was in grad school, and that held up and was great. It did run from 2010 to 2017. So maybe those 2010 episodes aren't as cool as I remember them, but I remember really enjoying the series. Like I had a t-shirt that said, I am Sherlocked. My friend and I both had it. It was just a whole moment. So maybe that's also partially the nostalgia.
Wait, it's an I am Sherlocked.
Yeah. Have you not seen
no,
it?
No, I have. I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly because That's amazing.
It's a reference to an episode. I won't say which one because it's also kind of a spoiler, but it's also been out for a while. Not that that means anything, but I would pick this up. I think it's still on Netflix. I'm not sure, but it's a great one.
Yeah, I love that show. I just haven't read any of the Sherlock stories.
I have the complete collection. If you ever want to borrow it, there are some that are so crazy.
Really? Okay. The reason I was never tempted because it kind of felt like they were so big in like the culture where I was like, oh no, I get it. I don't need to read it.
I really love it. I also just, you know, you and I both love detective stories. So I feel like this was like an opening to detective stories for me. And I had read them like fairly early on. Like I got my complete collection, I think, when I was in middle school. So I had read some of them through there. There definitely are some that are better than others. I would say maybe start with like some of the more popular ones, like is it called The Hounds of Baskerville is a really popular one.
That's good
definitely
to know.
Worth reading and yeah. Definitely worth watching.
Okay. Cool. Are you ready for my next one?
Yes.
Already mentioned by August, but it's Station 11, which is the HBO series. I think it's going to be a limited series, right? I would hope so. I hope they don't carry it on. I hate when they do that. Speaking of Handmaid's Tale, right? And I also haven't finished the series. I'm taking it very slow. And I agree, though, that as, you know, halfway through it, it's just perfect. Like, I have no notes for it. I really think it's fantastic. I agree that it might be better than the book. I don't know. It's been almost 2 years since I've read the book. I read it, like, peak pandemic in 2020. And I loved the book. It was helpful for me to like think of worst case scenarios at that time for some reason. And I think the story or the show does a really good job of enriching the story rather than just like kind of adapting it. And there are elements that still feel unpredictable, which is hard to do with a story that you feel like you know really well. I think it's going to end the same way, but I think the way they're going to get there is just going to be fuller. And I agree, the casting is fantastic. The script is amazing. It's not an exact script, which, you know, it usually isn't, but I was a little worried. And I think they take great pains to, like, develop the interpersonal relationships between the characters, because in the book, it's definitely there. That was my favorite part, where the relationship between the characters, as well as, like, this apocalyptic world building, but the show, the connections they have just are so authentic, and like I genuinely care about all of them. I would highly recommend watching it, even if you haven't read the book. I mean, do both, but
I'm really excited to see where the show goes. Maybe once we finish it, we can do a little mini-sode on like the show and book, but we'll see.
Definitely.
Okay. Are you ready for my next one? This is one that I have conflicting feelings about, as the rest of the world does, and it's Game of Thrones. Because the last season, really the last two seasons, are hot trash that should not exist. D&D, the show creators, I hope that they never work again, because fuck them.
They probably won't. They've been dropped from every major project since then.
They shouldn't. Yeah, they've been dropped from, what was it, like Star Wars or Star Trek? Yeah.
Star Wars.
I hope that they are suffering, because they made us all suffer so much. I started watching the show as it was coming out originally, the first season, and I was reading the books at the same time. I had the wonderful power of having read through the end of book three before even season two had finished. And if you know anything about book three, there are some interesting weddings, and having that power, I felt so strong. My favorite character is Littlefinger, for I think obvious reasons. And I felt a bit like him in that moment. I was like, I'm liking this power. I'm not going to abuse it. I only spoiled it for one person who was a legitimate asshole. So fair. But Game of Thrones was once a fantastic HBO series that ran from 2011 to 2019. I'm just going to say it ran until 2017. So we don't include those last seasons, because they didn't need to be that way. And it's based off of the book series by George R.R. Martin, which he is still writing. He's expanding the world, so who knows if he is ever going to deliver us the next book of the series. But he does have writers set up to know where he has told them where he wants the story to go, just because he is getting older and he wants to be careful, just in case he does pass before the story is finished. So it's nice that he's considering that. I absolutely love this series, which is weird for me because typically I'm not a fantasy person. I feel like I just really loved all these intersecting relationships and the very crazy and often strange relationships between people. I feel like this was really formative for me, just to getting into character-based narrative. Also, just watching the show every single week was such a fun experience as it was going on, especially like season three, season four. Once a lot of things had been established and some crazy things were going on, that was just absolutely lovely. I do miss elements of the show. I have been thinking lately about going back and rewatching certain episodes. I don't think I'm ever going to go back and rewatch the entire thing. I've seen the first five seasons multiple times each and love them thoroughly. There are some differences between the book series and the show, as the book series is still being written. And there's avenues that the series took away from the books early on that I think were mistakes, specifically their apparent hatred for the magical elements of the novel, like with Bran and everything. So definitely, if you've watched the show and you're like, oh, well, I already know what happens, I don't need to read the books, know that they are different. And Bran in the show is boring and not exciting, but Bran in the books is one of my favorite characters. So just know that there are little Easter eggs or little moments like that that are different, that could bring you some joy. Yeah, this I feel like just had such a hold on us for so many years that I had to include it. When I visited Kendra when she was living in Ireland, we did a bunch of Game of Thrones related stuff. We actually met two of the direwolves, Summer and Greywind. They're so cute. I love puppies. It was so nice. But yeah, that is my number three pick.
Yeah, I haven't read, well, I read the first half of the first book. I ended up DNFing it. But I would have included it too, just because I feel like the cultural experience of that show was so significant in that time of our lives. I don't know. I also just hate George R.R. Martin. So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of problematic elements of the book and the TV show. So I'm going to acknowledge those. he started writing them, I believe, in like the 80s. So I like have that there in the back of my mind. Not that that makes anything okay, but there are a lot of problematic portrayals of people, specifically like women and people of color. Not the best representation there, but just like the fantasy world building alone is why I picked it for this. And also, again, like such a hold on all of us. I know so many of our friends, like there's been like this kind of common question that's been going around in our friend groups that are, it's like, what theme song do you think of when you hear the HBO static? And so many people say Game of Thrones. For me, it was Game of Thrones for a while. Now it's The Sopranos because I'm constantly watching it because it's the best. But yeah.
Well, I rewatched it right before the last season came out, mostly because I had been watching it week to week, and I don't like watching TV that way. I'm definitely a binger. And so I enjoyed it way more binging it than I did week to week. So I don't know if that was just a personal preference or like the first three seasons are still great, I think. I mean, there's some problematic elements because those are inherent to the story, but still enjoyable.
Okay, let's move away from Game of Thrones. I also kind of, while I love it, I also never want to think about it ever again because of the pain D&D caused. Hate them forever. Did so many characters dirty. What is your next pick?
It is Alias Grace, which is another Margaret Atwood book that was adapted. I think it was originally adapted for like Canadian television, but then I watched it through Netflix. So that's where it was accessible internationally. I watched the show first, and I don't regret it. I think the show was actually more enjoyable than the book itself. The book was still really interesting. I would still recommend it, just so long, too long for the story. And it's about Grace Marks, who is an Irish immigrant in the late 19th century, I think 1843 for sure. And it's based on a true story. That these are about real people. There's a real murder that this centers around, but of course there are many fictionalized elements, and Margaret Atwood makes some very interesting speculations at the end, which I will just like leave for you to either watch or read. I think that makes the series as a whole. And Grace Marks becomes a domestic servant in Canada and is accused eventually and eventually convicted of the murder of her employer. So and his housekeeper. So the first half of the show in the book, you meet Grace after she's been imprisoned, and she's actually in like a psychiatric ward, and she's being analyzed and interviewed by what we would call a psychologist. I don't think he's actually called that at that time. And he is a creepy McCreeperson. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it there. And he's trying to figure out, because Grace asserts her innocence, and she seems by all accounts like this just like really polite, quiet, genuinely like feminine is a very important word to describe her, as you'll see as you explore his analysis of her. And so he personally believes, like, how can she be possible of such a, or how can she be capable of such a gruesome murder of two innocent people? And she's also convicted alongside the stablehand, who's called James, and he is hanged where she gets life in prison. So it's also getting into like the gender dynamics of like, what is a murderess, and like how people of the time and still today romanticize women who commit murder, because it's, I mean, sometimes people deserve, nope, we're going to edit that out. Maybe we will. I don't know. So it gets into that. And my favorite part is her retelling of what happened. So you're not getting like, oh, this is exactly what happened. Margaret Atwood isn't telling the story. What's happening is he's interviewing her about the murder. So she starts with her trip overseas to Canada, her meeting her employer, all of the weird shit that happens at that farmhouse and the spooky atmosphere there. And then what leads up to the murder, the night of the murder, and so on. And so it's really up to you, because you get three reasons that could possibly have happened. Very different. And so it's up to you to decipher which is what. And I honestly have no clue. So I think the show does a really great job of adapting that. It's a limited series, as it should be. I think the book is about 200 pages too long. Although while I was reading it, I was wondering if, because there are like 30 to 40 pages of just boring nothingness. And then after finishing the book, I'm like, I think there were probably clues in there as to what was actually happening, because she would be describing an activity she was doing and something was kind of happening behind her. So it's one of those books that like really requires you to pay attention. But honestly, I think the show is better, which is why it's my number two. I think everyone should watch the show.
I have watched the show, have not read the book, loved the show. Also, Anna Paquin's in it. Love her. Absolute queen. Also from another series adapted from a book, True Blood. So, which I have not read, but I loved the show up to a point because it seems like a lot of HBO shows run maybe a little too long. I don't know. But definitely loved that series. I haven't seen it since it first was released on Netflix. And I think it's one that I would want to go back and rewatch. Nice. Okay. Are you ready for my number two? This is a show that just makes me feel so good inside. It brings me so much joy. And I wanted to include it here because I feel like basically every other show that I listed is sad. So we need some joy. And that's Good Omens, which is, I believe, on Amazon Prime Video or Hulu. I can't remember which. And it was released, the first season was released in 2019. We are getting a second season, so everyone can be happy. It is so good. It's based off of the novel by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, and it follows an angel and a demon as they attempt to find the ender of worlds and end the world or save the world. Who knows? You'll have to watch or read to see. This is just like so wholesome, beautiful, so cute. It has David Tennant, who I have brought up before, my favorite doctor, a wonderful actor. He plays Crowley, who is the demon, and then Michael Sheen plays the English one, not the American one, plays Aziraphale, who's an angel, and their dynamic together is so cute. They're friends in real life, and that definitely shines through. I feel like they're just constantly making each other laugh, like all the time, as we can see in like their interviews together. I just think that they're both two very like wholesome and lovely people, and I hope that's true. And I love their interactions in real life and their interactions on the show. I'm super excited for season two. Also, I feel like my upstairs neighbor is wearing clogs, so I'm sorry if you can hear some stomping. But I'm so ready for season two. I loved season one so much. Jack Whitehall, a great English comedians in it. I feel like there was just like a bunch of people popping up where it's like, oh, I know you from this. And it was just like a nice experience. I also watched this at the beginning of quarantine before having read the book. Absolutely loved it. And then I read the book after and loved the book even more. So, well, not more than the show, but like the show made me love the book even more.
God, I need to read and watch that. I know. I'm so sorry. It's on my radar. It's going to happen. Are you ready for my number one?
I am. Also, really quick, John Hamm is also in Good Omens. So.
Okay, well, now I'm convinced.
As you should be.
I love him. Okay. I got distracted by John Hamm. I'm thinking of a very specific picture.
I know exactly what picture you're referencing.
All right. If you want to know, just DM us. We can't put it out on the air. My number one pick, which I actually wonder if this we might have this in common. I don't know.
We do.
Okay.
Just putting it there now. We have it in common.
Okay. Well, it is Sharp Objects. So many things we could say, right? Like we have a whole episode about Gillian Flynn. We love this book.
We love Gillian. It's one of our favorite books of all time for both of us, which is not surprising, but I feel like shocking in a way. We both love it so much.
We have such different tastes, and this one is like still a 10 out of 5 for both of us.
Yeah. And so you had you read the book before seeing the show?
Yes.
Okay. And I had watched the show before reading the book. Loved both. Did not change my opinion for the order at all of how much I love them. Did you have the same experience?
100%. I mean, she wrote the screenplay, so it feels like just like, oh, this is just a visual representation of the story I love. So it didn't feel changed at all. It just felt really full. I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was chilling. The visual effects of it were just like both gut-wrenching in an unsettling way and just like beautiful where I was like, oh my God, I love that. And the casting, oh, perfect.
Love Amy Adams. Queen, what can't she do? Really sad still about Woman in the Window. I believe that was a contract. Did not see it. Hate that book. Fuck that author. But wow, Amy Adams in that. And then, oh, who plays, is it Emma, the younger sister?
She's from Little Women. And
Little Women, well, and so many other things. Yes.
Yeah. But
there's Helen in Devil All the Time.
It's just great casting. The mom is perfect. When you're talking about mommy issues here, I know like we always talk about like we love mother-daughter dynamics in books. I think this is where it started because I think, I don't know, actually it probably started way deeper than that, but it was so fucking interesting where your main character is Amy Adams. What's her name? Camille?
Camille Preaker.
Thank you. I was like Amy Adams. So Camille is this reporter in Chicago, I think, and she's an alcoholic. She's struggling with a bunch of things. She's had a very traumatic life. You don't know that from the beginning. You just know that she's been through some shit and she's not meeting her full potential because of the demons she's battling. And she's sent on assignment to her hometown to investigate an unsolved crime, which ends up becoming a series of crimes. And she just is deeply involved. What I also love about this book and TV show, if they made a movie as well, I would watch it. And like, why not? And what I love about it is this like detective fiction story, right? But also there's this family drama that you're trying to uncover that's its own mystery. And the way that these two things merge is just beautiful. I have never been so shocked by an ending in my life.
So when you're watching the show, because if you have not seen it, just go fucking watch it. I don't care what you have to do. Like if you're in the right place to watch it, it is graphic at times. So keep that in mind. It is about murder. But the ending of the show, the very last episode, watch until after the credits. That's all I have to say.
Yes.
Fucking bonkers. Holy smokes. I guess I do have more to say. I mean, we both love this book and we love the show. I think everything about it is absolutely perfect. I think Gillian Flynn obviously is a phenomenal writer, especially a screenwriter as well. Having adapted both Gone Girl and Sharp Objects. I don't know about Dark Places because I do not give a fuck about Dark Places because yikes. But I just love that she has that creative control still over her work here. And I feel like it definitely shines through just the imagery of the show itself. Like one, just, I believe the town's called Wind Gap in Missouri. Beautiful. Just so much greenery. If you just want like a lush, but also horrific, very disgusting landscape, watch that for that. Also beautiful homes, especially I believe the mom's name is Aurora. Her home is gorgeous. There is an issue with some ivory being included there. I'm opposed to that. But it's just such a beautiful place to look at. And I love looking at Amy Adams. I feel like this is one of the best roles I've ever seen her in, which is hard to say because she's so fucking talented. Like her in The Master. Ooh, everyone go watch The Master. Phil Seymour Hoffman too. Ooh. But yeah, I feel like I can't even formulate thoughts because it's just like my love for this book and show are so intense where it's just like, I don't want to give anything away. I feel like people should go into it knowing absolutely nothing, just like I did watching the show. And I'm sure you did watching or reading the book. It's just a 10 out of 10 and will always be a 10 out of 10. And I'm kind of shocked. I haven't rewatched it lately and I feel like I need to.
I would rewatch it with you. It's amazing. I agree where like the ending. So it's interesting the show that the twist comes post-credits, right? And in the book, it kind of feels like it comes post-credits, which I think thought was such a just genius like adaptation on Gillian and the TV maker's part, where like in the book, you have that neat ending, which felt predictable for a long time. And then it's like the last page, like they have that like little twist. And I obviously I'm not going to go into what it is, but just the way I remember the way it was presented. I had to reread the last like 5 pages, like 4 times. Where I was like,
Dude, I had watched the show and I had the same experience being like, what? And it's just Gillian being masterful.
It's so clever. Cause it's so clever in a way that like, sometimes you have this obvious culprit, right? And you spend the whole novel going, well, I know it's this, and this is a red herring, and it's like still interesting. This is one that should have been obvious, but just I did not pick up at all because I had another obvious person in mind, and it was just perfect. It was so perfect.
Well, I feel like she did such a great job like sprinkling breadcrumbs where there's multiple people where you're like, oh, it could be this person, could be that person, could be that person. And like you truly, or at least in my experience, like I truly did not know until the very end where I was like, it could be any of these people. I'm not even going to guess because I'm probably going to be wrong. And wow. And like, we already know Gillian does twists like nobody else. But fuck, this one is so good.
I know.
So good.
I also felt like that was the first book to physically, not physically, to psychologically alter my state while I was reading it. Where, not obviously not in a great way. Like, so I should probably list the triggers. And then I'll explain more. But I have a list of the triggers because I'm always careful. I'm always afraid that I'm going to upset someone. And so personality disorders and the manifestations of many, many different manifestations of that. There's one I don't want to name because I feel like it would be a spoiler. Self-harm, suicide ideation, and alcohol abuse. So, and there's references to sexual abuse, but honestly, it's not, it's really just like here and there. Oh, wait, no, there is one graphic one. Sorry. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, that's what's sticking to mind. And then also like a lot of people that are engaging with this were once children, and we get their experiences as children too. So just be aware that it's those experiences held by children and then also their adult selves later on.
Yeah. And what I mean by like psychologically altering me, I don't think if you read this, oh my God, you're going to be depressed for the rest of your life, or even like depressed while you're reading it. What I mean is Gillian Flynn does such a great job of creating the headspace of Camille, which is a dark place to be. And it's both like fun. It feels almost voyeuristic where you're like diving into someone's trauma, and it feels like it starts to like become your own in the way that her voice just really resonates with me. Not that I've experienced anything, thank God, that, you know, that she has, but it's just, I think, a testament to Flynn's talent. She just is so powerful.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite authors writing today, and I know probably for you as well. Wow, I need to go back and rewatch Sharp Objects. Also, just on a separate Gillian note, there is an older male patron who comes into the library I work in a lot, and he's really nice. We talk about movies a decent amount, and I know he likes like a good thriller, a good mystery. And he was asking if we had any movie recommendations. And I was talking to him some more about what he wanted. And I gave him Gone Girl and Parasite. He does not know what happens in either. I gave him some loose trigger warnings because he does not like violence. Told him there were some violent moments, not entirely violent. And I'll probably be seeing him maybe next week. And hopefully he enjoys both of them. If not, he'll probably never ask me for a movie recommendation ever again. But I think those are two good ones for someone who likes like a classic thriller.
Those are amazing movies. I think those are perfect recommendations.
Yeah, hopefully he likes them because I feel like everyone likes Gone Girl. We love Gone Girl.
Yeah, Parasite. You know, an Oscar sweeping film. So at the very least, you think he'd like that one.
Remember when director Bong made his Oscar's kiss?
Yeah,
I love that man.
Me too. Excited for future movies from him. Mm-hmm. So should we get into what we want to watch or read?
Yes, I have four. How about you?
I can have four. I have four.
Okay, cool. Is it okay if I start?
Please do.
Okay, so this is one that I have not read nor seen, and it's Brideshead Revisited, which was a BBC series from 1981, and I believe the book is by Evelyn Waugh. I could be pronouncing that last name wrong, but it's Waugh. I just know that this series is groundbreaking for the time in which it came out. It came out in 1981 and portrays queer relationships, and there's a decent amount of homoeroticism. That's all I know. I think it takes place in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I want to go into this knowing absolutely nothing, so I'm keeping it at that.
Okay. My first one is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which is, I think it's Amazon Prime that it's going to be coming out. Maybe it was Hulu. I was notably disappointed by the book itself, mostly because I just did not like the author's depiction of race and sexuality. It felt tokenized. It felt really uncomfortable. And at the same time, I thought the story was really interesting, and there was perspectives from people who identify that way that I felt were important to portray. I just didn't think she was the right person to do it personally. And so that's why I'm really excited to see the show, because I think it would be a really fun show.
Nice. I have not watched that or read it. So maybe I don't think I'm going to read the book, but maybe I'll watch the show. The next one on my list is also one that I have not read nor seen, and that's The Leftovers, which was a book by Tom Perrotta, and then also an HBO series that ran from 2014 to 2017. All I know about this is that one day people wake up and a certain percentage of people have just disappeared from the world completely. And the people that are left on Earth are called the leftovers. I know that it's very, very sad and it's devastating. And I feel like that is fairly apparent just from that description, like just people disappearing without a trace. And it's definitely one that I want to watch. I've heard amazing things about it. It's apparently like a lot of people say it's like one of the best HBO shows ever made. And yeah, I'm intrigued.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe I'll watch it too. Another one coming up that I've read and it's coming out probably in the next couple of years is The Final Girl Support Group. Another one that the book itself, I remember even saying, I was like, I didn't like the book, but I think it would be a really interesting movie or show. Because the idea is that it's, you know, survivors of mass murder rampages, and it kind of plays on those like 80s and 90s thriller tropes of like the girl who survives and what happens to them afterwards. And it's a bit of horror but a bit of satire, and it was a really interesting concept. Just the execution personally wasn't there for me, and so it's been bought by HBO Max, and so I'm hoping that the show will be really good.
I have not read that, but I've seen that cover absolutely everywhere, so nice.
Can I quote, sorry, I was looking at an article that was listing like upcoming TV shows, and it says, certainly it has the right pedigree to take a stab at it, talking about HBO. Great job.
That's so funny. I also just thought of another TV show to add to my to watch slash read list. So there will now be five. So my number three on my list is a book that I just recently read, and I really want to watch the show. And that's Normal People by Sally Rooney. And the TV show came out in 2020, I think on Hulu. I could be wrong about that. Who knows? It's streaming on Hulu now, I believe. I loved this book. I know people have differing opinions on Sally Rooney and this book in particular. I personally really liked it, and I read it right after I had read Beautiful World, Where Are You, which is her newest release. Loved that one. I think if you're going to start with a Sally Rooney book, just based off of those two that I've read, starting with Beautiful World is the smart choice. I really liked Normal People, though, and I think the portrayal of relationships in the book would be really well done in the show. And I know people who have hated the book love the show. So I'm excited to see what it's like.
Love the show. Haven't read the book. I thought the show was absolutely amazing. Up next for me is Firekeeper's Daughter, which was by Angelina Boulay. It was a young adult like mystery story I read last year. I loved it. I thought it was super interesting. And it has been bought by the Obamas and they want to produce it and put it on Netflix. So I think it's in good hands.
Well, you know, one of the daughters is working in the film industry now, right?
Yeah.
She had an internship, sadly, under Harvey Weinstein. But
I love that story, and I'm excited to see it for TV.
Nice. I remember when you were reading that, just like the cover itself is so beautiful. It made me want to pick it up for that reason alone. Do you think I should read it before the show eventually comes out?
I think you'd really like it. I think you'd prefer the audiobook, to be honest. Okay. Well, that's what I listened to it on. It's written in a very accessible way, which I know sometimes, not to say that like you want books to be inaccessible, but I think you get my meaning where like it's a young adult book, but the story itself is rich.
Okay, nice. Okay, maybe I'll be adding that to my audiobook queue. My next series that I need to watch, I loved this book so much, and I feel like I'm kind of scared because I loved the book so much to watch the show, and that's Little Fires Everywhere, which is by Celeste Ng. I loved this book so much. She also has, oh my God, what's her other book called that I absolutely love? Why am I blanking on this? Everything I Never Told You. That's great. I don't know if that's been adapted yet. If it hasn't, it should be, because I think I liked Everything I Never Told You more than Little Fires Everywhere, but I loved both. And Little Fires Everywhere was adapted, I believe, on a cable network. I think it was FX, and it was from Reese Witherspoon's production company. She stars in it as well. as well as like so many other incredibly talented people. But this is just one where, again, like I loved the book so much where I'm kind of scared to start the show, but I've only heard fantastic things about the show because it's literally just perfect people involved in it. So I trust it. I'm just a little nervous to start, if that makes any sense.
I get that. You love the book so much. I mean, I loved the show. So that, if that helps at all, I haven't read the book, but I should.
You need to, but you should read. I think you might like Everything I Never Told You a little bit more.
I think I'm very excited to read that. I'm always like, oh, that's a summer book. I'm going to read it in the summer, and the summer passes. Kendra, just read the fucking book, dude.
You can read it anytime. Get the fucking audiobook. Just do it.
I have the physical book, so I want to read the physical one. Okay, you ready for my next one? This is Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo, which was bought by Amazon Prime. And I don't actually know if the show's ever going to happen. There have been no moves on it since it was bought in 2019. And I've been anxiously waiting because I love this fucking book. It's going to be a series. So as soon as the next one comes out, I'm like pre-ordering it, getting it immediately. But if the show ever happens, I hope it will be good. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that's one that you like love so much. I feel like it's always an anxiety-inducing experience when we see books that we love being bought for whether like a film or a TV show. And like also knowing that just because it was bought doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be made. Like A Little Life has been bought and there's no fucking way that could ever be made. Although I did see the play. Fucking hell. Ugh, okay. Yeah, definitely one that I want to read. Probably, who knows if it will come out and we can watch it. Okay, are you ready for my last pick? So this is one, I've seen the first episode of this show and I really liked it. But again, I'm not the best with horror. I feel like I need somebody there for watching certain things with me and just haven't had the opportunity to watch this with somebody. Maybe it will be the next show that I watch with my partner or my roommate. We will see. And that's Lovecraft Country. I forgot. So I didn't know that this was based off of a book when the show first started coming out. And then there's a great Instagram account called, I think it's Black Market Vintage. And they did the PR sets for this show as it was being released. And they included copies of the books with it. And the book is just like a beautiful cover to begin with. It looks like some like old, like horror Shirley Jackson style novel. It's by Mark Ruff. And I believe it came out in the mid to maybe like 2015, 2016. I could be wrong about that, but the show just came out, I think, last year. Yeah, it's just one that I really, really want to see. I don't know too much about it. I only know from that first episode, and it was really scary and overwhelming for me, which is why I haven't finished it, but it's one that I want to for sure watch and then maybe read after. I heard that the book is really good. I know the novelist is known for like cult novels. Not cult as in like a religious cult, but like cult as in, you know.
Cult classic.
Yeah, cult classic. Yeah. Sorry, I was fumbling over my words there. But I've heard great things. The book has really good reviews. It seems like it's mainly like a 4 or 5 star read for most people. So I'm excited to get into it. I just need to be a little braver and then finish the show.
Yeah, I think, so I watched the show, didn't read the book. I really like the show initially. I don't know if it's like horror I would describe. Well, it is horrific in many ways. It's a lot of racial trauma. So I have some friends who absolutely hated it. One, because they have their own racial trauma and they're like, I don't need to watch it. And so just as a note, if you're going to watch it, I enjoyed some of it. I think the ending was bad personally. But the actors in it, they're just fun to watch because they're so talented.
Mm-hmm. So what I've heard about it is, I know like people are saying that obviously it's an incredibly traumatic show. It deals with like the Jim Crow South. And so like, obviously that is very hard for many people to read about or to watch. So just keeping that in mind. The first episode, when I mean like scary, is I don't really deal with certain types of stressful shows or movies very well. I get very anxious. Like Kendra's had to deal with me being like that when we've watched things like even like Euphoria, just like the stressing anxiety of it. Like I have to get up and walk around. And I remember watching the first episode of Lovecraft Country. I had to like get up and like walk out of the room and take a break from it for a moment. So, and that's me as like a a white viewer that just has intense anxiety. And I've heard that the show is literally worth watching just for the performances alone. So I'm glad that I have that backup from you on what your opinions are of it. I do think that I am going to watch it just because I do really want to finish it after having seen the first episode. And I feel like it's been on my to watch list for a while since then, because it's been out for like a year now and I just need to get to it. But yeah, I'll let you know how I'm feeling.
I think it's worth watching. I think it's worth finishing. And I'm sorry that it's going to be stressful for you. It for sure will be. And I agree that the performances, like the acting, is just superb.
Okay. Do you have any more that you would like to share, or is that the end of this television episode?
That is the end. Well, that's all I have.
Watch us as soon as with every episode. As soon as we finish, we're going to be like, fuck, how'd we leave that out?
Every time.
Watchmen. I want to watch all of Watchmen.
Oh, fuck. I've not seen it. I watched Watchmen.
Loved the first episode of that one. Fuck. That's another one where I like had to pace around because I was like, this is a lot of trauma right here. Mm-hmm. But important to show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely let us know what your favorite TV adaptations from books are. Anything that you want to watch. I don't know, just say hi if you want to, doesn't matter, whatever's on your mind.
Yeah, we're here. Just let us know what you want to talk about.
Definitely. And so we're also working on To Paradise, as you know. So that will, the next one will be coming out soon if you're following along. But yeah, if you have, you can always reach out to us on Instagram. You can find us together at Book Dumb Podcast. On Instagram, as I fucking said, sorry guys. And you can also reach out to us individually. I'm Kendra, so at Kendra Lapp on Instagram.
And you can find me, August, at Iggy Poop. And wherever you're listening, whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you want to go ahead and follow or subscribe, you can also now leave written reviews on both platforms. So that's great. So whether Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we'd really appreciate it. We'd love your guys' feedback, and it helps other people find our podcast. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye.